Good morning. Welcome. No greater love is there than for one to lay down his life for his friends. What a beautiful thing that is that Jesus did a few thousand years ago for us. A few announcements before we do this service. Welcome Dave and Alana and Grant and Leo and Dominique to our midst. And they will be speaking this weekend, this morning, and also tomorrow is youth at 4 o'clock at the church. And Saturday, there's two services, one at 11, one at 2 o'clock.
Sunday.
And there's still Bible study in the morning at 10 and Sunday school. There's still a sign-up sheet at the back. Hopefully, we filled it out for this planned meal on Sunday. Are there any prayer requests? Okay. Word of worship today is hymn 82. Levi will read the psalm. Psalm is Psalm 22. And then hymn 672. I'll do the prayer. And then hymn 104. And Dave will give us the message. And it's from Matthew 27, 45 to 61. Any other announcements?
Just a reminder that tomorrow is the last day of the 40 days of prayer for all the churches in the Silver Lake area. So tomorrow is the last day. It's day 40.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Terry. Let's begin.
Thank you.
Psalm this morning is Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots from upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be of fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this.
The one who makes the sun set in the sky.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you with thankful hearts for the Son who saved the world, who died for all who believe, for the Lord that reigns, the King that is kings. Father, we can't even speak words of thanks for what this day has accomplished. The reason why they call it Good Friday is because it was the act of a perfect man, and it was good to lay down his life for the sins of the whole world, that whoever believes in the work of the cross, the blood will have been applied to their hearts, and they will have a future in heaven with a Savior who loves and a King who reigns and a Spirit that guides. Father, give us the ability today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to celebrate with you the death of your Son, to understand that for 3 hours when it was dark and he hung on that cross, the sins of the world were applied to him. And the wrath of God was put on his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. The innocent Lamb received our sins so that we could on Resurrection Sunday receive his righteousness when he rose from the dead. It is not a sad day today. It is a glorious day. As you sent your Son to pay the price that no one could pay. And you lifted him up in glory to receive him. And until he comes again, we celebrate this day. And we celebrate Easter. Father, give us a reverence for it and an understanding for it of what is truly applied today. Father, give this congregation a rest in the work of the cross, an understanding that it is finished, a peace that we are his, because of the glory that he suffered. Father, we ask that you would bless the services this weekend. Anoint the lips of Dave so that he can speak truth in confidence and in boldness, with the promise that your word would never returns void, with the understanding that the word hits the mark, that the scriptures make a difference, and that the preacher is but a vessel of dust. Father, we ask that you would bless the congregation here, everyone that has come today and everyone that will come this weekend. Bless them with an assurance of what the cross accomplished, how justification was accomplished, how sanctification began, how it all started by God's grace towards us, his favor towards us, because of our heart being lowly, broken, and contrite, and grace was able to enter and faith began. And now we are being predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. As the bride of Christ, Father, we ask that you would give us the ability to be beacons of light in the community, and to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. Be leaders, be humble, and obedient to your word and your causes. Father, we ask that you would pray for the upcoming election, as we pray for the upcoming election, that you would put the people in place that you want there, and knowing that whoever is in place, you are over. But we pray that you would open up their eyes and their ears and their understanding to Jesus Christ, the work of the cross, and to you, Father, for you are over all and you control all. And Father, we ask that you would continue to bless us in the faith as soldiers for the cross, as the bride of Christ, as the ones who go out and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, as the ones that receive the gospel, the good news. Father, we ask that you would bless those who cannot maybe be in a church this weekend. Maybe they're in a hospital, or maybe they're sick, or maybe they're just not believing. Maybe they're mad. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they're mad at you, mad at their circumstances. Father, your word can move mountains. We ask for that this weekend. We ask that you would move mountains, take down strongholds, and give us the ability to just look to Christ, the author and finisher of faith. Look to him who is always there with us. His burden is light. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Grace and mercy and peace from the God of grace. His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit be with us even this morning. It is such a joy to get to be here with you all this weekend. As Tom was praying, it is our desire that God would take our hearts in these times of worship, these times that we are so blessed to be able to come and gather around His Word and remember why this is Good Friday, and actually write it deeply on our hearts so it is more than simply something that we do each year at this time. And that is a work of Almighty God Himself. And so we do pray this morning that by His Holy Spirit He would indeed open up our hearts, that we could receive a glimpse, because that's likely what we will get, a glimpse of His glory and greatness. We come to this word fully aware of the flesh that we carry with us, that is a part of each one of us, and hopefully fully aware that we do not rest on the strength of that flesh, but we rest in the strength of the One who paid the price for it. If we could turn, or it might be up here too, to Matthew Chapter 27, right? Yeah, there we are. Matthew 27. I'm going to read a fairly lengthy portion, and we'll see what we have time to get into. I was just going to focus on a verse, but I was told that we only have 4 hours this morning. Starting in verse 35. Did I say 45 on there? Yeah, no, 35. You just have to wait for me to catch up to 45. Oh, excuse me. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments among them, and among My vesture did they cast lots. Listen as we read this account, how close it is to the psalm reading from this morning. I was so pleased that that was the psalm reading, because this is where Jesus takes the verse that we will focus on right from that Psalm 22. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyed the temple, destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came up out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there, beholding him afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man out of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. May the Lord bless the reading and study of his word. As was mentioned, this is not a day that is that we need to be downcast in. And yet, as we read the account of the Passion, and as he was brought there under extreme torment, to be killed in a way that cursed people were killed, We need to remember that those at that time had lost hope. And for them, this was a day of deep tragedy. For the one who they thought was going to be the king of Israel had been killed. The one they had put their hope in was on a cross with blood and water pouring out of his side. And they didn't know quite what to make of it because, of course, their eyes had not yet been opened. I wanted to read that to give us some the proper context this morning, but if we could focus, God willing, on the 46th verse this morning, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? My prayer is that we can come away from today with a sense of reverence for what Jesus did for us on that cross. As I said before, our flesh is fickle and we all know it. God, give us reverence for what you have done. In Isaiah 53, I was going to try to get that put up there, but I don't think that's going to happen, but because I said nothing. So when you say nothing, nothing happens. In Isaiah 53, I thought we could go there and have a read through of it. I did think about going there this morning for this service. It is, of course, the chapter that is sometimes called the suffering servant. Also been called the fourth gospel. Because, of course, the gospel being the good news of Jesus Christ was foretold so completely in the chapter of the suffering servant by Isaiah, who was living some 700 years before, of course, the Christ. And if we keep in mind our text in Matthew, as we read through the chapter of the suffering servant found in Isaiah 53, and we'll actually back up because it actually starts in Isaiah 52, verse 13. If you want to follow along with me, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Some 700 years Before our Lord was taken to the cross, in the greatest of detail, Isaiah lays it out for us. He lays out how he will be, and we read it, that he was mocked. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers. As they are dumb, so opened not he his mouth. It is fascinating and well for us to remember what we have in this book. This book that is actually a library of 66 books. That is the inspired word of God. And for passages like we are dealing with this morning, for us to get to remember that it is all interconnected. We can go back to Genesis to the fact that it was foretold that the descendant would indeed crush the head of the snake. And we can go to Revelation, to the throne room. And we can see that when no one was able to break the seal and open the scroll, not one person was found. And what happened when John saw that? John said he began to weep loudly. Because no one was found worthy to break the seals and open the scrolls. And the elder said, "Stop weeping. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is found worthy to break the seal and open the scroll." And John recounts that he saw, as it were, a lamb standing as though he had been slain. And all heaven breaks into song. And we still get to sing his praises today. For he is worthy of all of our praise. Do you see the interconnectedness of this word of God? From beginning to end and every part in the middle, it all points to the same thing. That points to the one who is the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ. And here we see him on the cross crying out some of the most potent words in Scripture. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus' cry is the epitome of anguish. And we can only understand it or begin to understand it if we look at who God is. God is not just a holy, just God. He is that. And he is not just a holy, loving God. He is that. We read that God is love. It's been used to define him. He is not just a holy, long-suffering God. We all know he's that. Those of us who call on his name. But more than anything, most of all, raised to the superlative level of God's attributes is the holiness of God. He is holy, holy, holy. No sin can touch him. That's why in the throne room there was no one found worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. There was only one who could do it, and he was God himself. And so when we come to this cross and we hear Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the only one who could pay the price, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God, let it sink into our hearts what that cry is for. None of us that have ever lived could carry the crushing blow of God's wrath for sin. There is not, if any one of us, and I'm including every saint from the beginning, and I'm going to include future ones until Jesus returns, any one of us, if we come into contact with the holiness of God, we would be squashed so flat that there wouldn't be any remnants to pick up for any kind of a grave. We simply are not enough. There was no one found worthy except for the one that was. And in great anguish, he cried out to the Father who he lived for. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said he lived to do the will of his Father. That was his sole purpose. It should be our purpose too. And it is in the Spirit. But do we live up to that? I think all of us can say with the Apostle Paul that I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God with my mind, but I see in my flesh another law waging war against the law of my mind and taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. This is the battle that we have with our flesh. This is why we need so badly the Savior who lived his entire life for the pleasing and to do the will of his Father. That was his sole purpose. That is what he lived for. And he enjoyed sweet communion that we, in him, washed in his blood, look forward to having when he returns. Or when we die, whatever comes first. He enjoyed the sweetest kind of communion with his Father. We remember the times that Jesus would go off and pray by himself, communing with the Father. They were one. So for him to find himself from no fault of his own, but because he willingly took each of our sin. And in the high priestly prayer, he makes it very clear in John chapter 17 that it wasn't just for those ones that were right with him. It was for us who would follow and would believe on the word of God. And the one who lived in perfect harmony with his Father felt the wrath of God on all sin. And it didn't crush him. He knew what was coming. He said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What is that war against our ability to see the holiness of God? I found it an interesting statistic. In 2020, the Barna Research Group did a survey and found that 69% of people said that people were basically good. Maybe some of you would join that 69%. I hope not, though. The overwhelming majority of people agree that people are basically good. We who follow Christ should know better. We have this word that tells us there is none good. No, not one. We have it that's where it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So why do we have a stat like this then? Is it not because we grade ourselves on the curve, looking around us and going, well, I am somewhat better than Hitler for sure. Is that not the case? What is the reality when we look at the holiness of God? God who cannot stand the impurity of the thought that I had a second ago. Do I stack up? Because I don't have Hitler's mustache? I do not. It is such an important thing for us to grasp that our only holiness, our only righteousness comes from Him who paid the price. And there is no difference between my righteousness and Hitler's righteousness. Now you can say, whoa, Dave, you're going too far. Really? Let's take a step back. Let's take a step back. Let's say if we step back to the road and you could look at me and Hitler standing side by side and you'd be like, I'm pretty sure he's on the left. But if you take a step back the next quarter and we swap places, you'd get it wrong. And if it was up to you and who was going to go up and who was going to go down, I'm afraid I'd be in some pretty poor hands. There is no difference when you take back. That is nothing. When you take and look at the holiness of God, it is indeed like taking the farthest star that we can see and then looking at me and Hitler standing together. There is no difference. And our righteousness, my righteousness is not better. It does not measure up to the holiness of God any more than his does. And the only hope that I have in this frame and with this flesh is the one who was worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. So that I and each one that come under the precious blood of the Savior can come together in a place like this, like we get together in this morning, and sing his praise. He was worthy. And when we get to sing it, remember, loved ones, we are singing with all of heaven. You might want to sing a little louder. Probably be drowned out otherwise. It is so remarkable, isn't it, that we read in the chapter of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53 there that it was God's good pleasure to crush him. It is something that we cannot wrap our heads around, but one day we will. How can I say that with such surety? Because Scripture tells us that one day we will get to see him as he is. One day we will be like him because we'll get to see him as he is. So we bring what? We bring this broken frame. As is in Psalm 51, we bring a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's been prayed this morning, I believe. We bring our brokenness and we bring it to the cross. To the cross where the debt has been paid. Theologians call this double imputation. It is the idea taken from Scripture that Jesus takes all of our sin debt and he takes it on himself. And he takes all of his righteousness and he places it on us who are called of God. That we might open our mouths and praise him because we are so privileged to get to come boldly to the throne of grace. What a privilege we have. We all fall very much. And we get to come boldly to the throne of grace, holding up as our banner the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we are wrapped in him, when we come to that final day, and Jesus says, Father, I want you to meet someone. This is my brother, or this is my sister. The Father will say to us who are wrapped in the righteousness of Christ, paid for by his blood. I know Jesus. They look so much like you. Praise God that he has sent the perfect sacrifice to do what we could not. And even in the agony of the cross, when God turned his face away, we read that he did it for the joy that was set before him. And even if this morning you are carrying a conviction, you are not walking with Christ. What does he say to us? Come to me, Jesus says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's the other option? Are you walking with Christ this morning? Coming boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in our time of need? Peter says, God says through Peter, then prove your calling and election. It is not a life that we are called to of inactivity, but rather, as Luther says, or said, I believe he's passed away now, we are saved by grace through faith. But we are saved for work. Loved ones, there's a whole world out there of people that don't know that today is a good day, because their sin was paid for too. Let us pray to the God of all grace that has spoken to us to indeed use us. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God, give us obedience to walk where he places us in the power of this word, in the covering of his blood and nothing else. For that is the gospel. Let's close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and of marrow, and discerning even the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. We ask you, God, that you would search us and know our hearts, to try us and know our thoughts and see if there is any grievous way in us, and lead us, O God, in the way everlasting. For we long to see our Savior our Savior Jesus and see him as he is, as you have promised when he returns, that we will get to be like him and see him as he is. Jesus, we thank you for your gift on the cross that you freely paid for. No one took your life, but you laid it down so that you could pick it up again. So that we could walk in the victory of new life through what you have given. God, we thank you for gathering us, even today, for this blessed time around your word. We ask that the fruit of it would be evident in our lives even as we go from here. And we ask it in your name, Jesus.